could it really be? That stuff was sent skyward, isn't going all the way. Just floating like a blanket underneath that we all made. And welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. This is The Green Front, and this Monday is the 43rd anniversary of the very first Earth Day. Of course, we need to look at Earth and support our life support system every day, not just on April 22nd of every year. I think that's pretty evident now. I've been covering this beat since Earth Day 1997, so that will be my 16th anniversary on covering the Green Beat for radio stations and internet networks, now on the World Wide Web. I wanted to do something special, since we do cover the environment every Wednesday, to do something that is in conjunction with Earth Day, so that's what we're going to devote the next half hour to. Jared Scott, he is on the program now. He's a partner with PF Pictures, and he has been instrumental in working on a film that is about to debut in conjunction with Earth Day called Do the Math. Welcome to the program, Jared.
Thanks, Betsy.
You're in Nebraska. We had someone on from the Farmers Union in Nebraska last week to talk about the Keystone Pipeline. Of course, that is very much on your mind. And tell us what prompted you to work on this film. And in a minute, we'll just play a little trailer so people can get a sense of what it's about and, of course, who it's starring. Hint, hint, Bill McKibben.
Well, firstly, thanks for having me on the show. Big fan of what you do. And yeah, speaking of, I know you had John Hanson, the president of the Nebraska Farmers Union, on your show recently, and I spent yesterday with John Hanson going around and meeting with different farmers and ranchers and seeing where the proposed pipeline was going to run through parts of their land. And so it was good to get a on-the-ground perspective of people whose lives are directly affected, I mean, literally through their land, I mean, 200 feet from where they put their head on their pillow. And so it was good to see where the rubber meets the road and to be involved with everything that's happening here leading up to the public comment tomorrow in Grand Island, Nebraska. So the film is called Do the Math, and it takes its namesake from the tour that 350.org and Bill McKibben did from, I think they did 26 days or 26 shows in 28 nights, and they did a special encore show in January. Do the Math, the film chronicles Bill McKibben and the rising global movement in a David versus Goliath battle to fight the fossil fuel industry and change the terrifying math of the climate crisis. And so what we wanted to do was capture the essence of the Do the Math tour, but then, of course, make it more cinematic and provide additional interviews with everyone from James Hansen to Naomi Klein to Lester Brown to Van Jones and many more to on-the-ground filming with the offensive strategy of stopping the defensive strategy of stopping the Keystone Pipeline and the offensive strategy of divestment.
Okay, let's take a moment and just play the trailer, a two-minute peek into this film. It sounds very exciting to me, but I love this stuff. See what you think.
Wrong to wreck the climate. It's wrong to profit from that wreckage.
2012 was the hottest year in the United States since scientists started keeping records.
My guest, Bill McKibben,
our nation's leading environmentalist.
We're building the kind of political movement that will change things.
As of tonight, we're taking on the fossil fuel industry directly. These companies are a rogue force. We're no longer at the point of trying to stop global warming. Too late for that. We're trying to keep it from becoming a complete and utter calamity.
Carbon in the atmosphere greater than 350 parts per million is not compatible with life on Earth. That's strong language for scientists to use. Today, the atmosphere is 395 parts per million.
The fossil fuel industry has five times more coal and oil and gas than is safe to burn.
They are locking us into a future that we can't survive.
This is the biggest emergency the human family has faced since it came out of the caves.
We are at a tipping point in America's history.
If they carry out their business plan, the planet tanks.
Tar sands are the turning point in our fossil fuel addiction.
I say it's criminal, and I say that not lightly. we subsidize the fossil fuel industries.
And that is just financially and morally bankrupt.
We have to send the message that we are going to hold them liable.
We have a moral catastrophe on our hands.
What's at stake now is civilization itself.
This is the only question that will matter in the long run.
Wow, very moving. Jared, how long has this film been in the works, and how can people see it?
Sure. We made this film. Actually, this was done over a very intensive timeline. We had an idea for a film, and we had been speaking with 350, and kind of the stars aligned after the new year, and we decided to make this in about 6 weeks. And this is a 42-minute version of what's going to be a feature. And they wanted this to be the cornerstone of the day of action to go out and see the film. And what's exciting is this is a truly contemporary approach for using film as a tool to mobilize for social action. And so on the eve of Earth Day, Earth Night is what 350 is calling it, April 21st at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's also going to be, or any 7 p.m. Eastern Time is the preferred time, but there's also this idea that everybody will be watching it at 7 p.m. their time, mainly because there's going to be a panel discussion that will be live streamed, at 8 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. Pacific after the marquee screening in Oakland. But thousands of people are coming together to tune in at campuses, religious institutions, community centers, public spaces, and house parties across the country for the simulcast. And the campaign was only announced about a week ago, last Monday, and there's already upwards to 800 screenings across the country and the globe. So it's exciting.
I agree. Oh,
and I'm sorry, the place to go see the film, this is all going to be streamed on 350.org /mass. And some of the hosts and the screening leaders who have already been in touch with 350 have received DVDs, and there's also an HD download. So there's other ways to watch the film besides the live stream, but we're encouraging people to all get online and watch together. There's this idea of collective effervescence when we're all doing this together, to watch the movement on screen, but also to be a part of the movement. And the way that we view the film, I think, is going to be really exciting.
I understand Dr. James Hansen, just very formerly of NASA, having just recently stepped down to retire from NASA, but not from climate change education.
That is correct. Yeah, and Dr. Hansen is going to be at the screening in New York, and he's going to be at the panel afterwards that will be beamed out to all the different venues and houses that are watching it. And there's going to be some kind of system, and this is a 350 question, on how people are going to be able to submit questions for Dr. Hansen, for Bill McKibben, for Phil Ariano, and for two of the divestment student leaders, Sophie Lazoff at NYU, and on the additional interview or the additional panelist. But it's all happened so quick. This is all happening in real time that it's been exciting, but it's also been kind of crazy.
Kind of chaotic. Well, you know, that's kind of the way the world is going. If things are sort of heating up and speeding up.
Exactly.
And that's why we need to really get more mainstream Americans to tune in, isn't it? That, you know, this can't just be for the environmental organizations, the activists, God bless them, you know, the people concerned about climate. It really needs to spread to average citizens. And how can we get films like this out there, do you think, to, you know, go beyond the choir?
Sure. I think, you know, I mean, in the spirit of 350 and the spirit of social action and independent filmmaking, the idea is to get as many people to watch this and to spread the word, very much in the same type of crowd distribution, grassroots style that you'd hope. But yeah, that's always the question of the hour. How do we get it to in front of the eyes of people that wouldn't kind of be in the choir already? And I think that I guess all we can do is we can do the best we can to try to get people engaged and invite people to this screening. The screening is a great way to invite people that might not share the same worldview. I mean, going out and seeing a film is such an easy starting point. You know, you can get anybody in that room, You can sit down, you can watch the film, and then you have a platform to discuss these issues. And we see our films as platforms, as the starting point for discussion. It's not the end point. And like I said, it's such an easy, low barrier entrance point to get people together, especially those who don't agree with you on issues regarding climate change. And so I'd recommend anybody who's listening to invite people, not just their friends who believe and support them, but those who don't. And we've had tremendous feedback already with people who don't have climate issues on the mind, who've seen the film and have gone, oh, I didn't realize, you know, that's where we're at. Or, you know, people hear about global warming all the time, but they don't understand how to kind of contextualize it. And I think Bill McKibben's three numbers, which he wrote about in a beautiful piece in Rolling Stone last August, which is elucidated in the film, is a great way for people to kind of get it and to kind of understand where we're at this moment in time vis-a-vis the climate debate.
Mm. And I have not yet viewed the film. Thank you for sending me the link. It's just been, like you said, a hectic time, but I look forward to seeing it. And those who want to host parties, you can let them know how they can access the film to share.
Yeah, definitely. 350.org/math, and you can find a screening in your area by searching your zip code, and you can attend that screening or you can host one. And some of those screenings are public and some of those screenings are private. So, like I said, there's about 700 or 800 screenings now, and you can go on, you can invite people and have it open to the public, or you can keep it closed off and keep it personal. But it has a tremendous amount of resources and great people there and great tools to allow you to do this in a very thoughtful way.
You know, films are very important in terms of raising awareness as long as enough people see them. Certainly that was the case with An Inconvenient Truth, a little bit less so in terms of numbers of people who saw it, but very impactful. Talking about the documentary Chasing Ice, you probably saw that.
Mm.
That was, you know, documenting through film, photography, the melting of the glaciers. And that had such an impact that, I don't know if you're aware, but there was a woman who went in as a skeptic and came out a believer in tears at what she saw. You know, the eyes don't lie. The camera doesn't
lie. Yeah.
The camera doesn't blink,
I mean,
so to speak.
Exactly. And that's the power of film. And like I said, it's such a low entrance barrier. And it's such a great way for people to see this information in a way that's compelling and thoughtful, and that's the idea. You know, people that make social issue films or films about the most important issues of the day, the idea is to change minds and to impact people. And so anytime a film can do that, and like I said, be a spur for discussion, then you're doing something right as a filmmaker. And I think as a film appreciator, I love going out and seeing these types of films. And I, you know, Food Inc. is always a great example. I think that more people have cited to me why they're a vegetarian based on watching Food Inc. than any other film. So films do impact people. And I think that, you know, that's our responsibility as filmmakers and as storytellers to tell good films, and to tell non-biased films, hopefully, that allow people from all political persuasions and all walks of life to come in, get information, and hopefully change their behavior, or at least have the knowledge to move forward and eventually make changes in their lives.
And Jared, is this the kind of project you focus on at PF Pictures?
Yeah, PF Pictures is committed to storytelling through social issues. We've had films about inequality. We had a film that was released theatrically in October called Split, about partisanship in America. We have a film about healthcare, of course, and films about the environment, Do the Math. We had a film about innovation and energy policy and called Power that became The Artificial Leaf, starring Dan Nocera, who's working on artificial photosynthesis up at Harvard now. So we try our best to get involved with the issues of the day and like I said, create these films that allow these platforms for discussion. We've had a lot of success with educating people abroad. Split went to thousands of schools in Europe, across the U.S. We've worked with the State Department to get the word out. And it's a really terrific feeling as a filmmaker to be able to see these films as a tool for change. And in this instance with 350, I mean, they are at the forefront of social action. And you know, they've organized, as CNN called, the largest political day of action in history. They were with the Sierra Club and others. We just had that amazing climate rally, 50,000 strong on February 17th in D.C. So to be be able to work with 350 and their tremendous group, it's been a delight. And this film, we really hope, is going to be a mobilizing tool. As Bill McKibben said, a movie to spark a movement. So we hope that we can continue to bring environmentally sound and thoughtful films and programming to 350, so we can get more people to galvanize and become a part of the solution and wake up and get active.
That sounds great, Jared. For those who don't know, Bill McKibben, you know, is doing the math and trying to show people how, if you do the addition, it comes up with a pretty scary scenario and equation in terms of what the fossil fuel industry is capable of extracting. Maybe just say a little bit more about that, and then also just, you know, is the divestment campaign catching on?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like first to speak to the divestment campaign, it seems like every week I hear from 350 and reading online about more and more people that are getting involved in the divestment campaign. And the film is hopefully going to, as we continue to make the feature, highlight more of the divestment action that's happening. I know that we've been talking to people at Harvard, we've been working with people at NYU Divest. There's a lot of beautiful things that are happening, and that's exciting. Bill McKibben's numbers, Bill McKibben's math, and also, if you didn't realize, Bill McKibben had a new, and I'm sure you noticed this, Betsy, but Bill just had a new article come out in the most recent Rolling Stone, and this article was called The Fossil Fuel Resistance, I believe. And that's a tremendous article that I recommend everybody to read, and it kind of paints the picture of who some of these people are in this movement, where he's saying it's being battled on 1,000 fronts and there's no kind of unifying manifesto, but there's all these different people from the tar sands blockade to investors to people in communities that have been affected by the Gulf oil spill and Sandy. So it's a terrific article. But I'm sorry, to get back to the article that he wrote in Rolling Stone last August, which is elucidated in the film, these three numbers, I always defer to Bill here because he's able to express these a lot more thoughtfully. It takes me about five times as long to try to paint the picture he does so eloquently. But the gist of it is that the fossil fuel industry has five times the amount of coal, oil, and gas that is safe to burn. And that comes from the fact that kind of awful Copenhagen summit that happened, where the world agreed that 2 degrees Celsius was the number that we could not go past. And to get to that, and although it's not a binding agreement, they just agreed on that. So I don't know, maybe that's better than nothing, but there's no way to hold anybody accountable. But at least the world said 2 degrees is too much. And to get to 2 degrees, we need to burn 565 gigatons of carbon. Now, a gigaton's a billion tons. The number, based on research by this group in the UK, says that if you look at the balance sheet, if you look at what the fossil fuel industry already has on their books, what they are basing their profits on and their futures on, they're ready to burn five times that amount, 275,795 gigatons of carbon. So it's five times more than it's safe to burn. That will get us to that 2 degree number. And so that's frightening. And I think that once you know those numbers and once you know that information, then there's nothing else to do besides act. And I think that we try to put that early enough in the film so you understand why these people are getting arrested in front of the White House and why civil disobedience is happening, why we can't allow the Keystone Pipeline to be built, and why the divestment movement, although not the, of course, it's a silver buckshot that we need. There's no silver bullet here, but why it's a crucial part of the fight. And, you know, we need to do a number of things on a number of fronts, and you have to act, though, once you have that information.
I could not agree more, and I thank you so much, Jared Scott, for your comments today, for what you're doing with PF Pictures, and specifically, especially on this film, Do the Math. I can't wait to see it, and of course, we will spread the word as much as we can here from the Green Front. So happy Earth Day
Beautiful.
To you, and
thank
we'll
you,
be in touch. Thank you.
And a quick note, too.
Go ahead, sure.
Oh, sorry.